Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA. I'm Gary Byron. What is so funny? Can I do the intro here without you rudely interrupting me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Start over.
No. What was so funny that you just couldn't wait to laugh?
You know, every once in a while, you just get a funny bone tickle. That's what I had. I'm sorry.
Of all times. I mean, you've been serious all morning, and now you just get it.
I'm sorry.
All right. I guess you
just... I can't help it. I'm going to make you laugh.
This is the ladies and gentlemen, this is not the blooper reel, by the way. These are not the outtakes of the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show.
They should be, though, sometimes.
The whole show is an outtake.
All right. You know why I was laughing?
No.
I'm so dependent on the timer, you know? So that I know where we are in terms of time.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, go on this long-winded rant where I know it's just going to get cut off and make no sense to anyone. So when you did the intro, I just realized that the timer wasn't up. And I'm pointing to Jimmy going, look, you know, I'm pointing with the hand, the timer. So that's what made me laugh. Because it was just funny, and I guess I'm the only one who thinks it's humorous.
I laughed at your panic.
That's right. Jimmy was laughing at my panic. Any other questions?
No.
Anything else I can share with you?
You answered my question.
Now you know why I was laughing so hard.
Please continue.
No, thank you. I'm over that fit of humility or humor.
Rarely am I over humility.
What?
I was going to ask you, last time that we did the show, last two weeks, you were via phone.
I was.
Did you not have a timer in front of it? Or you didn't, did you?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Because there was one show that I didn't.
I remember that one.
Oh, I can't do this. So then I set up a timer, so I had it for the second show.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that gets me... You know, nervous.
I know there was one show that you did not have. The first show you did not because you kept on, there was like, I don't know, a minute left and you were still answering a question, boop, 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 just going on. And I'm like, I got to wrap this up. Yeah. I got to interrupt them. And you were on such a roll that I'm like, I feel bad, but I got to do what I got to do.
Somebody shut that guy up.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that even during the morning show, when there's hard breaks, there's soft breaks, because we're a Fox News affiliate, at the top and bottom of the hour, we'll get stepped on. You know, there's a couple of breaks that I can loose. I got to make this break sometime.
But
within
there's
this
some
two
you
minutes.
Have no.
I have no control over.
Right.
And the satellite just takes over.
Right.
So on these weekend shows, if we just kept on talking, the next show would automatically start. The computer would start the next show anyways.
Yeah.
So we could keep talking. No one's going to hear us.
Yeah.
But, you know. that's why I was trying to wrap the show up.
We can hear each other. That's all that matters.
That's right. Because we do the show for ourselves.
Right. Who's listening to what I have to say?
But it is good to see you after a couple of weeks.
You know what? It actually makes a difference. And I didn't realize it until this time around.
What's that?
To be here in the studio versus doing it over the telephone. I don't really like it doing over the telephone, but yeah.
No, you're right, but it's still better than a repeat show. I'm talking about for the Catholic Cemeteries Association show, because you're always topical throughout the year, according to the calendar, you know.
The church calendar, yeah.
Yes.
So we try and always talk about things that are relevant to the church calendar, so when people go to church, maybe they have a greater understanding of things. And I
learned that the hard way. This has got to be 2 years ago. I don't know where you were. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you had surgery. So maybe you were on vacation. I forget because it was a couple years ago. And for more than 2 weeks, maybe it was 4 weeks, maybe it was a good month, you were not in and you were not able to do the show via phone. And we ran repeats. And I listened to some of them, and other listeners who just listened to the show were like, what you guys were talking about? Like that was a repeat. We're talking about something that didn't even make sense to the time of year. And it wasn't like one person pulled me aside. I heard that from a few people. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. This is a very topical show. Repeats, unlike some of the other paid programming that I'll do, you can't do repeats on this show. Or you, well, I guess it's your show. I guess you can if you had to, but
well, you
they
know,
don't work
you
as
and I,
well.
You and I speak a lot about the Catholic funeral plan because we think it's, you know, so important. So I think those are shows that we could probably spend some time with. I think the issue becomes in this little prelude that we do before we get into things where we talk about some things that are more current or happening, you know, immediately. You know, you want to talk about, if you want to put a timestamp on the show, you know, talk about Israel and Hamas and the things that are going on
there.
That's
the whole show. There's a whole topic for, that's only one. You could talk the whole show on that.
Well, yeah. It's not the purpose of why I'm here, but I mean, you know, it's a very important topic, and I think it's one that people need to be paying attention to, and I hope they are. You know, we have actually have friends there, and they've told us some of the terrible things that are going on. It's really horrific.
Imagine looking out your window to your house, and everybody in every direction, north, south, east, west, south, southeast, south, southwest, north, north, they all wanted, not that they just didn't like you. That would be terrible enough. They all wanted to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you're living under constant fear, you know?
I mean, it's just terrible. It's just terrible.
When did Catholics and Jews start getting along pretty well? I mean, we talk about the times when and the beginnings and the origins of the Catholic Church and, you know, how the Jews were expecting, you know, Jesus to come in all glorification on a donkey and
their Messiah,
they thought
yeah.
they didn't think it was a Messiah. They thought it was a prophet and so on, you know, so on and so forth. You know, many people thought it was the prophet Elijah coming back. All right. But so there was, you know, there was that huge conflict that went on. But times evolved and Catholics and Jews became not just friends, but pretty darn good friends, close. When did that happen? And what was the cause of that?
I can't tell you what had happened because I think it was a slow progression over history. You know, the Catholic faith, we view the Jewish faith as our elder brethren. I mean, they're the ones that started the whole ball rolling. Jesus was a Jew. I mean, that's the way it was. So his version of faith, which we call Catholicism, is somewhat different than what the Jewish faith teaches, but the basic precepts are the same. You know, we have the Ten Commandments, but you know what? Everything that's listed in the Torah still talks about the things of importance to living a good life as a good human being and trying to be a person that does things right by each other and right by yourself. Look, the Judeo-Christian set of beliefs are so ingrained in our history as a nation, in our history as a human race, that it's really, there's almost no difference. It's more, I always call it the technicalities and logistics. You know, those are the things that are different. But the basic belief system of what is good and what is bad, I think, are the same. You know, I can't point to a time in history. You might go to, you know, 400 AD, Constantinople, and, you know, where the Christian faith started to take root. There was probably some more acceptance at that time because the government was now in favor of or at least limiting the persecution of Catholics. But who knows? I mean, the Jews were persecuted before then by the Romans. I mean, I don't know the exact sequence of events that I could point to that say how did the two faiths become closer and more tolerant and supportive of each other.
Would you say we're just the opposite sides of the same coin?
I mean, that's one way to look at it. You know, if your currency is love, then yes. I mean, I think that that's true because that's ultimately what we try and do, right? Love each other and love your fellow human beings, love your family, and do what's right by people. So,
right.
I mean, the Ten Commandments, if you love each other and you love your neighbor, you're not going to do anything wrong. So,
before we get into the topic of today's show, I mean, did you want to pursue this avenue more with the Hamas invasion
all I'd say to people listening
Israel?
Is, you know, don't be afraid of praying for others. And this is a good time to pray for the people of Israel and also pray that God enlighten the hearts and minds of the people that are attacking them to stop and think about what's important.
I have often seen priests and the hierarchy of the Catholic Church being often guests in temples,
mm-hmm.
and rabbis in return being special guests in churches. And they attend. They go. You know, they don't be like, oh, well, yeah, well, that thing's for the invite, but no, I can't. It's almost like arm in arm. Like,
well, okay. I mean, you know, depending on the circumstances, you don't find too much of that going on during a Mass because the celebration of the Holy Mass is very structured. But other than that, you know, any events, any types of get-togethers, special occasions, marking, they should be arm in arm. Why not? Absolutely. I mean, the entire faith community should be arm in arm. I think these are the things that matter.
Amen to that, my man. Amen to that. All right, so before we get into today's show, let's go over some housekeeping for the Catholic Cemeteries Association. You got a financial plan that's going on right through October 31st, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a special that ends, as you said, October 31st. If you purchase a mausoleum crypt, you'll get $500 off the price. If you purchase a tandem or double, you get $1,000 off, which, as you know, during this month we've been saying this is the only time we've ever done that. Yeah. So I think that's great. Something else of great importance is that on All Souls Day.
That's coming up.
November 2nd, Archbishop Blair will be celebrating Mass at All Saints Cemetery in the mausoleum at 10 a.m. So we invite everyone to come in. That will be his last All Souls Day celebration with the Catholic cemeteries.
Right.
Because there will be a new Archbishop come April, I think. And we also have some Dignity of Life seminars October 18th at 2 o'clock, St. Margaret Mary Church in Madison. And October 19th at 6 o'clock, also at St. Margaret Church in Madison. So we're getting to the point where we're winding down the DOLs for the year.
I noticed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start maybe by telling, let's discuss this, about the CCA, its history, its inception. And really, let's cover the basics here. I mean, the origination, who, when, you know, the whole need of.
Yeah, so I mean, Catholic you know, cemetery. The CCA started because of a need to bring some standardization across the many Catholic cemeteries that existed within the archdiocese. If you go back into the 60s, you would find that, or in the 50s, that you have all these cemeteries throughout the archdiocese. They have their own associations. Each cemetery had its own association, its own board, its own means of maintenance, its own pricing. Everything was individual. So in 1961, the Archbishop decided to bring them all under the umbrella of the Catholic Cemeteries Association for the Archdiocese of Hartford. So those cemeteries were all brought together. We currently have 30 cemeteries that are under that umbrella. And what that's done is give us a standardized means of maintenance so that when you look across the street, for instance, at Mount St. Benedict and see how well maintained it is, what a beautiful cemetery is, that's how they all are. Because the same set of standardizations are applied across the entire organization. The same methodology that we use in pricing, the same management, basically. So everything is now standardized, and it makes it a little easier. So that happened back in 1961. What progresses over time, it used to be throughout the history of cemeteries in general, you know, people would walk in when they lost a loved one, and they would come in and say, I need to buy a space for them. Whatever space it was, they needed to buy a space. So whoever was the manager, the secretary, whoever was there at the time would take down the information. They would point out to them, you know, some places that are available. And they would sign a contract, purchase that land, and that's it. Off they go. So that was considered what's called an immediate need. Well, over the last 70 years, you know, financial times have changed considerably, and you have a significant cost associated with maintaining 30 cemeteries to the point that, this is going to sound crude, there's not enough people dying to cover the cost of what it takes to operate.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely. Because, look, longevity of people has gotten so much better than it used
to
be 70, 80 years ago.
In medicine is just.
But the fact is, people die less. Okay, so that's just how it is. So we really needed to do something, and the something was the path of pre-planning. And that sounds like it's all about the finances. It's not, because there's so many advantages to pre-planning that we've talked about many times in the past. Well, in order to do that, you really have to have an active sales force, someone that is out there to let people know. So in 2015 is when we started the Family Service Department. And that's where we've talked about family service advisors in the past. So the family service advisor's job is to educate the families of the archdiocese, to let them know what their rights are as Catholic Christians, give them an opportunity to ask any questions that they have, take them for a tour of the park and show them the different locations that make sense depending on what the family's needs, requests, or desires are, and then take care of whatever business needs to be taken care of. You know, we talk about sales. We're not a sales department. None of my people have ever were really great salespeople in any other life. Most of them were like social workers and medical workers. There's a couple of sales.
I actually knew that about it. You don't actively pursue lifelong salesmen.
No, not at all.
It's more counselors, social workers.
More counselors.
People with compassion.
Compassion, empathy are the two hallmarks of what's needed. And attention to detail, because this is a business that is surprisingly detail-oriented. You know, I mean, even before I came here, what did I ever think? You know, dig a hole, drop them in, done, you know? Mm. Well, let me tell you, when you dig a hole and you see that you've got 1 inch to the right and 1 inch to the left, and that's where the next person's buried, that takes some talent.
They're really that close, takes some huh?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I mean, in an average acre of land, you can bury 1,000 people. So think about that.
Wow.
Okay? That's packed in there like sardines. So you have to be pretty careful. But then there's the whole, management and record keeping of everything that goes on. So it's important. There's a lot of detail. But that's where they came from. And our mission basically is to take care of the burial needs of the families of the archdiocese and to do so in such a way that is compassionate and with empathy and ensuring that they are aware of their rights.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. You can contact the Catholic Cemeteries Association toll-free at 800-505-0050 and online at www.ccacem.org. And I'll repeat both of those for you more towards the end of the show. What would you say the Catholic Cemetery Association's mission statement is? I mean, is that basically it?
Yeah, I mean,
nutshell?
Basically that's what I said about taking care of the burial needs of the archdiocese.
Then let's talk about the importance of pre-planning. I don't think you can ever stress that enough.
No, and you really can't, because there's some important benefits to people, okay? So the first benefit is financial. If you purchase something now and you're not going to use it for 30 years, you've probably saved yourself a couple of 100% of what it would cost you, 20 years, 30 years down the road at a minimum. Because on average, every 10 to 13 years, things double, prices double. I mean, I've been here 9 years and pretty much our prices have almost doubled. Not doubled, but gotten, there's been some significant price increases. Secondly, you get to keep your loved ones together. Okay, so you purchase an area where you have enough space because you've done the pre-planning. You've had someone asking you the important questions that you need to think about. So you purchase enough space so that you're keeping your family together. You know you're getting what you want, okay? And then I think really the most important one is that there's no burden that you leave on your family. Remember, we've talked about this many times in different shows as examples. Planning a funeral to me is the same as planning a wedding. The only difference is you do it for a year with a wedding and you have about 48 hours when someone passes.
Imagine that, huh?
Yeah. And it's shocking. And I don't think most people think about the reality of what it takes to do this. So that's why there's, you got to find a space. You got to, you need a venue. You have to have the correct mass. You have to have the readings. You have to have all the things that you would normally pick in a wedding celebration. Then there's a repast afterwards. So sure. There's a venue for that.
There's music, flowers,
it's all this stuff.
But there's other services that are also offered by the Catholic Cemeteries Association to the families of the Archdiocese, right? And maybe go into them a little bit.
Well, I think that there's a lot of services that we provide to families. And we can talk, for instance. The first thing is we have our family service advisors. That's probably the greatest service that we provide.
Huge asset. What a resource they are.
It is. You know, we have 10 offices throughout the 30 cemeteries that we manage that you can go to any one of those offices as a resource. You have family service advisors located at each of those offices. Their job is not to sell you anything. So if you want to come in and just have a chat about what all this encompasses and what it takes, that's what you do. There's no commitment that you're asked for. There's nothing. Their job is to educate you. So to me, that's really, I think, the greatest service that we provide over and above the burial spaces, okay? Throughout the year, we talk about it every show, the Dignity of Life seminars we do, okay? And we do that, why? Because it's a means of educating people. And in this case, it's a nice means because you're doing it in a familiar location. Usually it's in your parish hall, okay? So people feel very comfortable and they get the opportunity to ask all the questions that they like. And then if they should choose to want to actually do something, they set an appointment up with a family service advisor and they come in and they take care of it. We offer bereavement counseling for families that have gotten, who have lost a loved one. And you'd be shocked. During COVID, we were pretty much the only organization in the whole archdiocese that was still offering bereavement services because everybody was so terrified of what was going on. We set it up in a way that, you know, we were managing to be able to do it. Small groups, you know, no more than six people. But it was still it was something that was very much needed within the archdiocese at the time. So I think I was very happy about the fact that we were able to do that. One of the great services that we provide is the fact that if you go into any one of our cemeteries, as I mentioned earlier, and just take a look around, they are very well maintained. That's a team of people that are dedicated every single day. That's all they do. They're out there trimming. They're out there cutting. They're out there cleaning. You know, and some people will come in and say, you know, I can't see the footstone anymore because the grass is growing over it. Okay. There's hundreds of thousands of people buried in our cemeteries. And every year we go out trying to raise them up as much as we can. And that's what we do. And now we've changed our methodology a little bit. So now we put stone underneath so they don't sink as fast. But you've got something heavy on the ground that's going to sink no matter what, because you're going to be riding lawnmowers, heavy lawnmowers that go over it, et cetera.
I've got time for just, you know, maybe for one more question because I'm running out of time. Some of the advantages of being buried in a Catholic cemetery. What do you think some of those advantages are? And does the CCA, do you guys provide a funeral director?
No.
Do you guys provide things that a funeral director doesn't, you know, can't do or?
Well, no, I think that's a good question. But, funeral directors have their place in this process, and we as the Catholic Cemeteries Association have our place in this process. So for us, we're taking care of the burial needs of the family. So that's really what our major job is. The funeral director is responsible for the planning of an execution of the actual funeral. Okay, and so we get them when the funeral is complete and we do the committal service. Okay, that's really where the difference lies. But in terms of a Catholic cemetery, you know, what's the first thing you see when you walk in or drive into a Catholic cemetery? Visible signs of our faith. At the entrance, there's a cross of some sort. You drive to the cemetery, there's dozens of statues of saints, the Blessed Mother, Jesus, so many different things. So, as a Catholic, and I don't know what everybody else feels, I can just tell you what I feel. When I drive through the gates of one of our cemeteries, I feel like I'm coming home. You know, there's a sense of welcome. There's a sense of relief, almost in a way. You know, I'm in a place that I recognize, I understand, because their system of values and beliefs fall in line with my system of values and beliefs, and it's something that I feel very comfortable being a part of. And on top of that, it's consecrated ground. So that means the Archbishop has gone through the entire cemetery and blessed it. And there's a difference between the Archbishop consecrating ground to God versus a priest who's just doing a blessing at a secular cemetery of a grave. The other thing that you have to remember is our cemeteries are never going to go away. Nobody's ever going to come and say we're selling town cemeteries that have been sold. And they just dig everybody up, okay? Cremate them.
They replant you somewhere else.
Or they move you somewhere else,
yeah.
Okay? Not exactly your idea of final resting place, right?
No.
Not what families had envisioned when they signed up for this. So when you are buried in our cemeteries, you know you're going to be there forever. Nobody's going to move you because that's not what the church does. And that's not going to change. So from our perspective, that's a hugely important part.
Oh, without a doubt.
Of who we are.
From my perspective as well.
And then you have a sense of coming in and know that this is a place that's reverent. There's a reverence. There's a deep respect. It's a place of prayer. It's a place that you can know that when you commit your loved one to our care, they will be taken care of in a way that makes complete sense with the liturgical rites of the church and what our faith believes. So
those are key.
Yeah.
I mean,
it means a lot to us.
Well, and that's why I asked you because
and
I
we
think
strive for that.
You're very successful at it as well. I think it's important that everybody knows that. Folks, if you'd like more information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, it is very easy to obtain. I would say first, start with their website, www.ccacem.org. Now, you may get questions answered, but you may also spark some new questions. You can also send an email if you've got a question you'd like to have answered on this very show. That's easy to do. It's ccawdrc@gmail.com. And if you'd like to set up a consultation with the Catholic Cemeteries Association, that's easy to do as well. They got a toll-free number, which is 800-505-0050. I'll repeat that for you, and I'll slow it down. 800-505-0050. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services of the CCA, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.